Troy Galloway is a construction manager and consultant, commercial and residential builder, and a certified inspector for all commercial and residential buildings. And now, here is About the House with Troy Galloway.
Well, folks, welcome back to About the House. We're really excited here. We got a great show for you coming today. This is a show that I've been trying to find folks like my guest today. I've been trying to find them for a couple of years. I finally found some people. Don't say nothing, but we finally found some people that come in here to talk to you, and you will really will enjoy them. And actually, it's a bill collecting company. But what's interesting about this is that it's just not a bill collecting company, but what they're going to do is educate us today on the systems and what you can and can't do, and just it's going to give you ammunition as a contractor, as an owner, a property owner, or somebody that needs to be paid bill your money back or be paid. But it's also going to give you, the consumer that owes the money, it's going to give you information too on how properly it's supposed to be done and how, when it's not done, what happens. But anyway, hey, a little bit about me real quick. I'm Troy Galloway. I'm your humble host of About the House. I own Galloway Building Services, as you can see, and we've been doing this show for now going on, I guess, about 4 years. This is the only one that I have on with bill collectors and collection company agency. And but what I do is actually we're moving About the House, as many of you can see, over to our construction consumer advocacy to help educate people, to help you learn the pros and cons about everything about construction. And that's why this is important, because collecting your money is absolutely important. Now, at the very end of this, I want you to listen, because I got a fabulous giveaway. And if you listen to the end of this show, you'll be able to pick that up. And I'll tell you how to get this giveaway. But I guarantee you what I have to offer at the very end, if you listen to it, it's going to save you a ton of grief. I do construction expert witnessing. And what I find is the same things happening over and over again, why people are getting in trouble. And if you follow what we're going to help you with, or what my advocacy helps you with, it will help the bill collection agencies do their job even more efficiently for you. So with that being all said, let's jump right in. I'll give you all the information you need on Galloway Building Services and the construction advocacy at the end of the show. But I'm really anxious, and I'm going to jump in here, and I'm going to introduce my guest, Matt and Nick. And thank you, folks, for joining us. And they are BYR and Associates. So tell me a little bit, Matt, if you want to start first. Tell me a little bit about the advocate, your company, how you come about, why you started, and basically who that you can help. You know, I mean, your main target. I know everybody you can help, but
yeah. I've been doing this for quite some time. This will be probably my 14th, 15th year of, you know, actually doing collections. We identified a need for most smaller businesses, some contractors, stuff like this, that didn't really have an avenue to take their accounts to, because they're not the huge firms, you know, that can dump thousands upon thousands of accounts. And we've seen a big disconnect with people not having anywhere to go with that. So that's kind of why we decided to fill in that niche.
That's cool. That is good, because there's a great need. And especially as you was talking to me about, you and Nick was sharing with me, a lot of these collection agencies are just for the big dollar guys. I mean, if I owe $100,000, this is great. But if you only owe $10,000, I don't want to fool with you, you know. And where you folks will help the little guy, that's why I'm so excited. And I want to make sure that you guys, everybody knows, not only we're out of the Midwest, but they can help you anywhere. So anywhere in the country that you pick up, you're picking a show up, this is great information and great people to talk to. So, Nick, tell us a little bit about your role, besides having to help Matt do everything.
So I've kind of been focusing on more of the bigger accounts and basically getting those accounts on par as far as getting everything organized. Kind of taking them through some of the legality that exists, because obviously whenever you're doing debt collection, basically if you say the wrong thing, you know, that can be up to $1,000 fine per an occurrence. And that's something that people have to understand. So we have to make sure that everyone that is on their staff understands that if somebody calls in after we've already initiated contact, they need to go ahead and forward that call on to us. So anything they say at that point, essentially that company, our client, could actually end up getting fined, or we could end up getting fined, or both. So it's very important that it gets directly transferred to us right away. Hey, we're not authorized to talk about this. You know, right now it's in collections. Go ahead and call. You know, we actually, BYR stands for Burmester, Yarborough, and Reed. So feel free to go ahead and call Burmester, Yarborough, Reed & Associates, and they're going to go ahead and take you through how you can go ahead and resolve this issue.
And what we'll do is at the end of the show, we'll see if we could talk Joey into putting your information down too, because it might be a little hard to understand Midwestern dialect if you're from another part of the country. So we will make sure that you have phone numbers and everything for that too.
Okay.
That's great. So so you take care of the big ones, and you're the owner of the company, is that right? Or is there a owner?
Yeah, I'm one of the owners of the company, yes. Uh-huh. We kind of work hand in hand. A lot of what he does, you know, is on the new customer side. A lot of what I do is on the actual collections and actually getting the money in the door side.
Hey, I got a question here real quick. And you said this. And I know everybody's chomping at the bit to hear this. And hey, hit like and comments under you down at the below. If you have any questions or comments, they will personally look at them and respond back to them. But now, Nick, you said something about if you say the wrong words, how would a consumer those who are being collected upon, I don't know what that word would be, but how would they know what would be the wrong words? How could they be educated in knowing if a bill collector calls them, did they say the right thing or not? Is there like a list or a place that they could find this information?
Probably the best way to put it is a lot of times people, if it's their own company and they're trying to collect their own money, they get real personal with the phone call and things might get a little out of hand. They might, you know, throw out something to be construed as a threat. A lot of people just don't know the legal way to do it. And obviously, if you throw out a threat against a client or get somebody that owes you money, that's going to come back to bite you.
And I mean, that can be something extremely small. So, Matt can kind of even tell you about an instance previously when he worked with another company where somebody signed their name and they actually said, well, the way the signature is, it looks like the one letter looks like a dagger. And that was an issue. Oh, yeah.
What if you get somebody that would say that's not mentally, and you think of they're not, because you can't really tell on the phone, but maybe they're not mentally coherent enough to actually handle their own business. I mean, what do you do in a case like that? And how do you know if they're faking it or not? Because I heard that people pull this stuff and then they try to get an excuse to not have to pay their bill because they're just not mentally fit.
There has been times where I've had to straight up ask them and say, you know, do you handle your own business affairs or is there somebody else that handles it for you?
Well, like a lady that, I mean, our seniors that are have a dementia.
A lot of times, this is for real.
And it's not that they're an idiot. It's just that they wish they could think.
Yeah. A lot of times there might be a conservator involved or they might have an attorney that handles their business or even an accountant.
And that's why, so when we're setting up the accounts, that's kind of when I go over everything with, like I said, the different employees, and we go over making sure that we have all communication that's been prior to us taking over the account. So that way we know who they've been communicating with, what was the most recent communication, most recent payment history. So that way we're able to kind of see everything that's taken place. So if they've already had somebody else, you know, involved in regards to either getting the work done or any kind of communication in regards to the bill previously, we kind of already know that in advance. So we're not, you know, essentially stepping on the wrong toes.
Right. That makes sense. Because it is kind of a delicate place that you're working within. And I know we'll get back to some of these other questions at the end. This one is just eating me up the most. We'll have to jump on that. So used to be, and I guess there still is, a consumer rights for bill collecting or something. Is there still such a thing as any kind of consumer rights or something that people can get to learn more about it?
A lot of what they can do is they can go online to the .gov site and look for the FDCPA, which is the Fair Debt Collections Practices Act.
Okay.
And it's going to give what the government thinks is, you know, the most important things, you know, for consumers that all bill collectors, you know, have to follow. And then agencies, it's just the Best Practices Act. You know, a lot of that is we're going to record calls, because I'm not going to get into a he said, she said, what got said. I'm going to have everything recorded.
Good.
We're not going to, and that's a good practice for somebody even doing their own collections, record the call, keep everything in writing. So that way, if anybody later on, you know, comes back and said, you said something, you have proof of what was actually said.
Mm-hmm.
It's just to protect yourself. But the other things are in there, you know, there's specific times and dates that you can call people. You know, you can only call from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. So there is a lot of, you know, different rules that we have to follow. It's a pretty heavily regulated industry.
I would have figured so, and I would have thought there had been some sort of way that, I remember it used to be that, and I'd gotten that years ago, but I, you know, maybe I need to put that out when we do a blog on this radio show that we could talk a little bit more about that. But we'll do that in our blogs. We're not going to get bogged down on that because I really want some meat and taters, not that right there. So now let's jump right in there, so if I could. Now, one of the questions that we both was talking about is there like, and I kind of briefly touched on it, and that is there a certain amount, a dollar amount that you need to be able to make it so it's win-win for everybody? I mean, in other words, you can't work for $100 bill collection, spend any time collecting $100, you know, and make it profitable for you. So, but, you know, what, I mean, tell me where to break. Is there a breaking point, or is there a criteria for how much or how little?
So actually we can. So more or less, a lot of times whenever we're dealing with like $100, it's more of like a doctor's office, and it's a deductible. So you may have, you know, 50 accounts every month that is coming in that essentially is $100 or what have you. So, but over the course of time, that obviously adds up. But, you know, really what we're looking for is we really want to help people, right? And a lot of small business owners, you know, one of the issues they have is a lot of times the people that owe them money are people that are actually good referral partners, right? There are other people, whether in, you know, in the construction industry that has offered, you know, hey, you know, use this guy for this type of business. We don't do that, but use this guy. But that guy still owes you money. So you're like, well, how do I collect and preserve this relationship? And that's one of the most difficult things to do, especially if you're kind of the sales guy, the face of the franchise, the owner. It's very difficult to then go ahead and put that pressure on those people. So unless you're properly training your employees, this is how you need to say it. This is what you need to do to preserve the relationship. You can end up destroying the relationship over the debt. So a lot of times people end up in a situation they don't know how to handle it, and it just gets dragged on. But then it actually gets worse and worse because now all of a sudden there's resentment involved. And, hey, why isn't this getting paid? You know, I got to pay my employees. And now all of a sudden you end up blowing up the relationship that was very good. And that's one of the things we kind of specialize in, is being able to go ahead and actually preserve that relationship while basically kind of putting what we like to call soft pressure on it. And basically, you know, setting up systems in place that allow for everybody to end up happy. You know, that's truly the goal is, you know, they always say, well, you know, is there a problem or is it an opportunity? You know, and a lot of times as business owners, we identify problems. We say, oh, man, this is a problem. This is a problem. Well, what we need to do is basically identify, well, it can become an opportunity. We can actually end up strengthening our relationship because we worked out a system for you. And, you know, then all of a sudden those people are referring you more business and more business and more business. So instead of having that relationship blow up, we're able to go ahead and actually make that relationship develop stronger.
So so that happens more in more of our larger type of ongoing people, like I said, doctors and people like that, or even contractors that work with other type of subcontractor. I could even see that for lumber companies. Ooh, I know some lumber companies. We need to let this know.
Absolutely.
Because they don't want to destroy their relationship with their contractors, but yet they know they're your contractors, or, you know, so that's awesome. And especially the dollar amount. So I noticed that, you know, in our office, they'll say, well, you can't collect on that. That's too little. I can't find anybody. And actually, they did look. Maybe they didn't look very hard, but they did look. And we, you know, so you guys are a beautiful anomaly.
Yeah.
You know, for something like that, that you would do that. Well, So that's a good one. Now, is there anything else anybody, dollar-wise, that would people need to know about? You know, like garnishing wages, you know, or garnishing.
Now,
is that anything that you folks do? Because I'm in the middle of a expert witnessing case that they're wanting, and you probably seen on Deals Gone Bad where she was saying that she was wanting to garnish the wages and she's going to get paid. But she's not getting paid because she don't know what she's doing.
Well, and the other thing is, a lot of times people don't know where those wages are coming from, and they don't know where the assets are. We can locate, you know, where their place of employment is. We can locate if they do have assets. We do have the ability to go and file the paperwork for the garnishments, but that has to be instigated by the client because we don't do the legal stuff out of our office. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not lawyers. We don't. But we do know the law. We do know what needs done, you know.
Yeah.
Good.
And we actually have more flexibility before things go to court.
Yeah.
So it's actually more advantageous for someone to get us involved right away. So after the 90 days, you know, get us involved right away. Because once again, with us, you know, we don't have, you know, an hourly cost. There is no, you know, monthly maintenance. You know, we only get paid when you get paid. You know, everything's contingency basis. So we're obviously on the same side at that point. You know, we're not delaying anything because we're getting paid hourly. We're not waiting on anything. We're not having to do anything of that nature. And we have more flexibility because there's less things involved at that time to go ahead and create different plans and different scenarios where you end up getting your money. Everybody stays out of court. And then that way you end up getting more of your money back.
So in my business, we do a lot of expert witnessing, and the lawyers are supposed to, we go through the attorneys. They seem to be the hardest to get paid for. I'm trying to watch how I say this, I'll get through, but they really are the hardest to get paid for whatever reason. Can you help us with the attorneys going against one of the attorneys, or is that something we just need to let them do their own?
I've done a lot of negotiating with the attorney's offices themselves. At that point, as everybody knows, anything in business is negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
And I've negotiated with a lot of attorneys to settle out stuff, yes.
Well, that's good to know. And actually, so because I do, so, you know, they do kind of get, but they get paid because they got the threat of being an attorney.
Yeah.
You know, that's even a bigger scare to people than you folks are. And you folks scare people when you call.
Well, and the thing is, too, with an attorney, they're going to take it to court. They're probably going to get you some type of money judgment. But at that point, the attorney's not going to collect it for you. You're in the same boat. You got a judgment. Now you got to come to an agency that can collect it for you. Because
mm-hmm.
if you couldn't get, you know, that money judgment on your own, you're not going to be able to collect it either.
So what kind of accounts do you, I'm going to switch a little bit here off of that. So, because I'd like to try to get as much in this as we can, because you guys are just so full of great information. But what kind of accounts would you say that's best for you, or that you do most, or maybe it's better to say what kind of accounts don't you do, you know, if that's the shorter list?
I mean, honestly, the accounts themselves are all basically the same. I always look at collections as sales. I'm just selling the idea to the people to pay for what they've already gotten. It doesn't matter whether it's medical, contracting. We have accounting, you know, accounting people that owe money. We have all kinds of industries. None of them are really easier to collect than the other. And it's the same basic thing. You know, we locate the person, we try to get them on the phone. And at that point, you know, we negotiate with them and, you know, explain why it's important that, hey, they pay this bill and what the possible consequences are of not doing it.
And I'll tell you, so to me, you know, there used to be a saying that there's nothing worse than working for free. And that sounded right, but it was actually wrong. The worst thing you can do is essentially do the work and pay to do the work, because essentially that's what you're doing when you're not able to collect that debt. And what we want to do is we want to make sure that you're able to get some money back. And we want to make sure that you're able to actually get paid on the work you've already done. And, you know, that's kind of the thing we want to do, is make sure that essentially the right thing happens, right? And you never want to have somebody just get away with it, right? So somebody essentially just kind of screwed you over and they're getting away with it if you're not able to collect, right? So if you want to make sure that, hey, I don't want somebody just getting away with basically, you know, getting one over on me, absolutely give us a call, because make us say no that we can't collect on this account. And that's a rare thing for us to do.
You know, I tell people that all the time, you know, working, you know, you need to not, when you do that, you're actually working for, you're paying to work for free. I tell folks all the time, you know, I pick and choose who I can let me rip me off, you know, and but sometimes I don't get that choice. It just, so that's really good to know. And like I say, we see a lot of, there's, I would think that you guys would be, because the economy as it is, and I'm hearing this now, that's why I'm asking firsthand, because, you know, what we hear is not what we know. But with the economy getting worse, it's not that it's as bad as we've seen it before, but it's not, you know, it's not cherry out there no more. Are you seeing more of an uptick in business? I know I am in the construction expert witnessing. There's a lot more of that work.
Yeah, a lot of them, I think it's bringing people to look, revisit things that they've already did to recover money from the past, because they might not have the new business coming in, but this is still a revenue stream for these companies.
Now, and I worked for Quiver River Electric Co-op, and we have, now I'm not on the board anymore. I was on the board for several years, so just a disclaimer, no longer. But what we have is a lot of people that didn't pay their, that owe money. And then we will sit on it for a few years and try to hustle it, and then we kick it over to the collection agency. And then you folks never, I mean, which is great, you never let it go, you know. You hang on to it. Now, is that kind of them bigger type of companies like Quiver River, is that stuff that it sounds like that's kind of what you do too?
Yes,
we can do them as well. Yes.
What we need to do is get, well, I don't know if we need to record that or not, but I don't care. We need to get you, I need to get you an invite inside of there.
Yep.
So we'll do that. But you got to remind me.
Absolutely.
I get so busy, because that's a good one, because they do need the extra help, you know, because it's member-owned. Yep. And because it's member-owned, we all pay that bit. That's not just.
I'm actually a member of them, and I'd like to see my dividend check every year be a little bit better.
Yeah, and how we could get it better is you guys collect us more money.
Exactly.
Let me tell one of the questions is, what separates some of, you've already hit on that, some of this, but what would you say separates your company from the other multi thousands of hundreds of thousands of collection agencies? I think it's part of, because you guys will help anybody, you know, and help the little guy. But what else? I mean, how would you say you're different than everybody?
I guess the best way to put it is we're always, you know, local owned, you know, yeah, we can do stuff from out of state, you know, whatever, but there's always somebody you can call, and you're going to know who you're going to talk to when you call our company. You know, a lot of the bigger companies, you're not going to talk to the same person, or you're not going to have a specified account manager. We have specified account managers for our clients.
And I would have to say, really, it goes back to, you know, what I touched on previously, which is, you know, when it comes to collections, you know, a lot of times there's a lot of collection agencies that don't have the greatest reputation, right? So when people hear debt collection, what do they think of a lot of times? Oh, Vinny's coming in with a brick or something, you know? We don't do that. You know, what we do is we focus on, like I said, maintaining that relationship. Because as you mentioned, you know, things are getting a little tough out there, especially for people in the service industry. And like I said, you know, a lot of the people in the service industry use other people in the service industry, and they're also good referrals. And it's, you know, very difficult to maintain that relationship, you know, even with some of the doctor's offices. You know, it's a situation where the people want to go back and see that doctor, but they didn't have that original deductible. So then we kind of work out a plan so that way they're able to see that doctor again, you know, and it's kind of the same thing that we can do for, like you said, the lumber yards and some other things as well, you know, flooring companies as well and what have you. But you know, that is kind of a huge difference, I think, than a lot of people out there. And the other thing I would have to say is being contingency basis. You know, a lot of times when your debt collection companies are dealing with smaller companies or individual accounts, they make you pay a maintenance fee, a monthly maintenance fee of X amount, right? And they say, well, it's covering the letters we're sending out, and it's covering our hourly employees, and it's covering this, and it's covering that. You know, reality of it is once they start collecting that monthly maintenance fee, they'll call one time, they'll send out a letter, you know, and after that, they might milk it a little bit, right? You know, they're not really focused on truly trying to help every individual. And that's really our goal, is we want to help people because we know how difficult it is for people to run their own business. And we know how difficult it can be when you're relying on getting payment for something and it's not coming in. And you know, your employees, you know that they have a family, they have kids that want, you know, Christmas presents. They, you know, they have Thanksgiving dinner. They had to get a turkey. You know, they need to have that money. So, you know, we want to make sure that you essentially are able to take care of not only yourself, you know, but everyone in your company. We want to make sure that you're able to go ahead and provide for your employees. And we're so focused on making sure that essentially we can go ahead and help the entire company that you have. So, and we also can even do individual accounts as well, because a lot of times you'll see where, you know, in order for someone to kind of start another business in the service industry, they may have a previous employee that they want to help do a joint venture with. They may do a promissory note. Well, you know, a lot of collection companies aren't going to focus on just one individual promissory note where you let somebody borrow $40,000 or $50,000 to start a company. You know, they say, well, that's just one account. We don't care. Well, we do care. You know, that's one of the things we just recently collected on was a promissory note for someone who went ahead and started a joint venture with someone to help them and get them going. So, you know, that's something that we're not going to turn our back on anybody. So, like I said, you know, give us a call. Make sure, you know, hey, we're going to go over certain things of this is kind of what we're looking for. Like I said, you know, the payment activity, any conversations, you know, what contracts you have, what promissory notes you have. We're going to kind of go over all those details, but we're not scared of doing one account because, you know, we believe in doing the right thing. And when we do the right thing, you know, we get invited to different events we've been asked to speak at, just kind of like this, you know, where, you know, we've collected on, you know, different accounts that it's only a $1,500 account or a $1,000 account. And it was just one single account and we've collected on it. So, you know, like I said, we want to make sure that people are taken care of.
And it's something I think small businesses ought to be thinking about is that the glory, this part, what I'm hearing from you folks is that when I do my billing or we do billing, it costs me X amount of dollars. And that's put into my budget. But if I have to continue to call and call and call and call every time that that lady or that man picks up that phone on our end and calls that company, that takes money. That takes time out of their day. Yep. That cost me more money. So where I might make $100, now it's $90, now it's $80, now it's $70, you know, and now it's just a matter of I'm losing my rear end trying to get paid, you know, because my people's all tied up. Or if a smart businessman will send his business to you folks, have you do it, he's still going to be paying for the extra, but he's not taking away from his company's time. Yep. Where he can be, because when I do that, I'm not generating work. I'm picking up this, you know, where you guys, I can still keep on the business running. So that's, I think that just should be really awesome. I think most, all you businesses ought to be thinking about this. I know I have, but I've been looking for folks like you forever. So that's awesome. But so let me ask you, what if this is not what's happening in my world, but just a scenario. I have a client that's not paid, and he's like, I feel like I'm not going to get my money, and I'm just running up here, and I feel like it's just getting to be a pain and spend my time. So tell me the process. How do we get tell me from the beginning to end. I contact you, and I know that's the beginning. But how does it go after that? What do you expect from us? What can we expect from you? And time frame, you know, you know the routine better than I do.
I mean, a lot of times is what we're going to ask is, like he had, you know, said earlier, we're going to ask, you know, basically when was the last contact with the person, a brief synopsis of how it occurred that they owe you money still. We're going to ask, you know, what the communication has been, what the payment history has been on that. Like for contractors, for instance, it might be something where they're not happy with the finished product, or maybe there's an issue with one particular aspect of the product. You know, I can go back to them and say, okay, well, then if you only have, you know, 10% of the project you're not happy with, that means they did 80% of what you expected. Let's pay that 80%, and then we'll work on this 10%. We're going to get it either A, we're going to contact the client, get it done correctly for you, or B, we're going to say, okay, well, you're disputing this 10% of it. You know, let's see what we can do to get it resolved. But once we have it in the system, a lot of times, you know, people are, I guess a good industry would be landlords. Those people generally change their numbers. Obviously, they change addresses because you booted them out of the property. Where we come in is we can locate them where they're currently at. So we can at least start getting a mail, getting the required letters. We can locate their phone numbers, for them and pretty much anybody in their household. So we can actually start getting the phone calls back to them, because chances are the phone numbers aren't good after a year or two either.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's just a lack of communication. These people aren't going to seek you out to pay the bill. But when you find them, you know, they're willing to talk about it because, hey, now you're communicating with them again. So it just comes down to basic communication, you know, getting the right address, right phone number. And I always, even though I might have notes from a client on what the situation is, I actually, well, one of the first questions I ask is, well, why aren't you paying it?
I think that's a great question. Because the fact of the matter is you got notes, but you got one-sided notes.
Exactly.
You don't have the story.
Yep.
And, but this, you have, on the same token, though, you're being hired by a person, so you have to kind of go along with what he's pushing. Help me out with the way you think.
Well, and before we can, right, and before we can actually start locating people and tracking assets and everything of that nature, we do need to make sure that you sign a contract, because we have to have a legal right to go ahead and actually, you know, discover things about the people. So that's one of the first steps that, you know, I didn't want to skip over. It seems logical, but, you know, sometimes people forget that and they say, well, why haven't you done anything yet? Well, until you sign a contract, we don't really have a legal right. So,
contract with you.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
But also, they need a contract with their customers.
You will find in several industries, you'll find that, you know, they might not have the proper paperwork on the client's end either.
Mm-hmm.
Where maybe there's a contract not signed, a contract signed improperly, or something as simple as a change order not done.
Yeah, and actually that's what I wrote my book on how to, the essential guide to hiring contractors, and that talks about that. And actually, folks, go back and listen to one of my podcasts back in, Joey, what was that, 2019 or something, with Matt Nagel, attorney Matt Nagel. He talks about contracts, the essential needs of contracts, the different, and actually we'll have him back on, but go back and listen to that show. It's like a few years old, but it's out there on podcast, and gives a great information on contracts, because these guys can't do anything for you.
Yep.
If you don't do yours right to begin with, you know, they're not your mama. They can't clean up after you. They can only help you. Yeah. You know?
And we have, there's been several clients that we've actually went through their contracts with them and said, hey, this is why we can't do, you know, the max for you, and help them to change the contracts. And, you know, something as simple as putting in reasonable collection cost, you know, if not paid on time.
That's a good point. Now, you said something earlier, one of you did, about trying to be out ahead before we go to court.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're drilled into that a little bit, what you mean by that. I understand. I think I understand, but I want to make sure that the whole country understands when they see this.
Well, the best way to put it would be, is if you've got an account that you're thinking about taking to a lawyer or anything like that, the lawyer's job's pretty simple. They're going to go through the law. They're going to take it to court. They're going to do what they need to do to get you a judgment. But that still has to be collected on. So it would still have to come to us. And therefore, so you paid an attorney, and now you're paying a collection agency. Whereas a lot of these things, you know, as simple as getting in touch with the person and communicating with them and working out a deal ahead of time, you know, before it even has to go the court route, because the actual customers, you know, that owe the money, they're not going to want to have a court judgment. They're not going to want to have to hire an attorney. They're not going to want to show up for small claims court or whatever it happens to be.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to look for a resolution. And a lot of times these can be resolved before it even gets to that level.
That is so great. That right there, I am going to just capture this few seconds here, and we're going to blast this, because I think that is so important. Because, you know, by the time I have to pay an attorney who's $300 or $400 or $500 an hour, $300 an hour is probably a jail cheapo now.
Yeah.
In today's world. But that's that money disappears quickly out of my little bill that I owe, and where then I got to pay you folks. And
you're paying an attorney whether they collect or not.
You're paying
them that $300 or $400. There's no guarantee they're going to get their money.
Yeah.
With us, you're not paying us unless we get your money.
Uh-huh. That's a great point.
And the other thing you need to consider is, so if your contract's written properly and it says reasonable debt collection, you know, essentially we can add, you know, the percentage into it as far as what we get off of the contingency basis. Now, once it actually gets settled in court, What ends up happening is most courts actually say, hey, this is the amount of interest that can be added on a monthly basis or a yearly basis, and it can't exceed that amount. So now all of a sudden, once we actually collect for you, then we're not able to add, you know, essentially the entire contingency cost on it. So, you know, if you want to recoup the most amount of money, then you want to make sure that you actually handle before it goes to court. And one of the things I was thinking about, you mentioned as far as making sure they have everything proper on the paperwork. One of the things we've run into, we've actually seen where somebody got a judgment, but what ended up happening is on their contract, they only had the LLC listed and not a guarantor as well. Well, anytime you're dealing with an LLC, you want to make sure that you have a personal guarantor. That way, you know, they don't shut down the LLC, turn around and open up a different LLC the next day.
Okay, that's a good point. I'm making note of that. So we need to make sure there's a guarantee. Go a little bit deeper into this guarantee thing. Now I'm learning, so this is great information.
Yeah.
What's this mean to not just LLC, but...
A personal guarantee. So it's they call it a personal guarantor. So essentially it's saying that not only is the company responsible for whatever they're doing, but you're signing on as a personal guarantor. So kind of like most of your banks, whenever you do like a business credit card, they're going to make the individual who are one of the owners basically as a personal guarantor for the credit card.
You know, and actually, so now that you said that, years ago when we started building homes, that's what the lumber company made us do, make sure that we guaranteed back behind our LLC. And I forgot all about that. You know, and I just always paid my bill, and I've never thought about that till then. And I use them for references. So, but yeah, they made us do that. So that's, I never thought, I need to put that in my book.
And you've seen too, how many times a deal's gone bad where an LLC, you know, they kind of, you know, screw some people over. Next thing you know, they shut down that LLC, and the same exact people just start a new LLC under a different name.
Right, right.
And they keep right on. They keep right on doing, you know, the bad contracting.
And that's why we're expanding. Actually, this is not a deal. This is not a show for deals gone bad. Yeah. But we are going to take deals gone bad, and we're going nationwide with it.
Yep.
Because of just that. Because what we're finding is with storm chasers, they just destroy St. Louis, and then, you know, what they're ripping everybody off.
A lot of them come out of Florida chasing the storms.
Yeah. I got videos of it, caravans of them coming in. Yep. And but then they go to the next town and next town and the next town after they just, you know, they've destroyed and ripped so many people off and with a new name.
Yep.
So the guarantee, that's awesome. That's gold.
And they're not just ripping off consumers. You know, we've seen where gutter companies have basically done that to roofing companies, you know, where the roofing company was outsourcing the gutters. So they said, hey, you know, you're a professional gutter company. This is what you specialize in. You know, we're going to try and, you know, help you out, throw you some work. Have you basically contracted out for the gutters? And then the gutter company basically just takes the money and runs. So, you know, but if they don't have them signed on as a personal guarantor, all they have to do is shut down that LLC, open up another LLC in another state. Not much we can do. So it depends on if there is assets that were in the LLC, because if there was, then, you know, we can get a little bit more complicated and do some things. But if they kept the trucks or anything of that out of the LLC's name, did that individually, then it's very difficult to actually be able to collect on that LLC. So that's why it's so important to have that personal guarantor.
Yeah, that we're going to push that.
Or people to do business with an established LLC, one that's been established, you know, for several years, that's pretty, you know, solvent, that's actually stable.
Now, I know that sometimes that we get this guarantee. And I know, folks, there's going to be times that you're not going to be able to. And I'm thinking that is talking about the establishment. Now, I'm of an age that I've seen I witnessed our larger contractors, building home builders, that have been in business for 100 years go bankrupt. Well, they're never going to give you a guarantee. There's nobody there for that. But the smaller guys, they're out there cutting each other's throats. They're liable to do that. And that will protect you folks when they try to use the corporate veil for hiding behind.
Yep.
Because that no longer do they have the corporate veil for protection when it comes to collection.
Yep.
You know, maybe for liability and insurance. Now, insurance, that's a good question. Is there any insurance issues that we need to worry about when we're collecting a bill? And I'd say, okay, like, for instance, stress, and they have a heart attack. because they're freaking out. I don't know. You know, we know how people make up stuff.
So I honestly thought you were going to go with it a different place. So one of the things we actually do with a lot of people in the service industry is actually help collect from insurance. Because sometimes insurance wants to take a little bit of time before they actually pay what's
horrible.
Actually owed.
They're horrible. Oh, yeah. I'm in the wrong business. I need to be in the insurance business. Or government, one or the other.
I mean, I won't say never, but in the 15 years, I haven't come across anybody, you know, specifically, you know, claiming that they had, you know, heart attack or anything like that. But I will tell you, if you ever do get sued, they're for sure going to put stress and everything else in it, probably. Mm-hmm. That's why, you know, we talked a little bit about the FTCPA, the government regulations. We have a set number of calls that we can call the people, whether we talk to them or not, or we leave a message or whatever we do.
That's a great question.
So we do have, you know, a set number of letters that we send out. It's all specified and it's pretty specific.
So when you do call and make contact, let me ask you. So I thought that I remembered, and that's the trouble. When I think I know something, I just ought to admit I don't know crap about it because I don't. But I was always told that when a bill collector can't call and say, I'm calling to collect on a bill. Now, how do you do that? I mean, is that still the case? Because it's on a message recorder where the public could hear it. What's the rules with this?
It's went back and forth over the years. There's a thing called FODI. It was a lawsuit by a guy named FODI. So they went back and forth whether you could leave messages or not. For a while, they had a specific message you could leave that was called a FODI message because of that lawsuit. Honestly, to me, it's better just not leaving a message because you're not opening yourself up to the liability. And I don't know about anybody else, but I rarely look at my messages.
No, well, and where if it's a message,
I call them back. I don't listen.
Right. Oh, yeah, me too. I did that with you folks. Yes. You know, I mean, I'm guilty of the same thing. But also too, we don't, like you say, liability. And now letters. You mentioned. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say so. And one of the things is so even though you can kind of look up some of the things that we've talked about, mm-hmm. there's other things that it's kind of similar to the medical field, right? So with doctors. If they prescribe a medication, basically what they have is called standards of practice, right? And if something is basically within, you know, standards of practice or what's commonly being used for practice, then they're okay, even if it wasn't specifically for, you know, that particular issue, right? Well, it's kind of the same way. There's certain things that we have in regards to, you know, how many times we're going to call per week and things of that nature that are not necessarily written in stone, but there's what's accepted standards of practice. And if you go beyond those standards of practice, even though it's not written down, you're still able to actually get in trouble. So that's kind of one of the reasons why we kind of said it's very difficult to essentially teach everybody, and it's very difficult to always explain, well, this is exactly what you can do, what you can't do, because you still have all these standards of practice that can throw all these wrenches in there.
So you just really answered a wonderful question that I was going to ask. What would be part of the reasons you'd want to get a bill collection agency? Well, because we don't know what the standards of practices are. We actually get emotional because it's our money.
Yes.
And when we get emotional, you know, what the brain don't do, it doesn't work. And then we start saying things. And then I can hear it now, you know, I'm going to come over there and visit with you. And that's it. We're done, right?
And it could be something, too, like, you know, it's a longtime customer that you've had that you've got a personal relationship with, a good relationship. That's a call you're going to avoid making every week, whether it's you or one of your assistants in the office, because that's somebody you know personally. You don't want to call up and say, hey, man, you know, are you going to pay me this money you owe me? They're not going to want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And each state, you know, has different standards as well. So, you know, you have federal, but you also have state, you know, just kind of like the old Civil War, right? You have states' rights and you have federal rights, right? Well, just similar to that, you have different standards that are for each state. You have different standards for federal. So, you know, you got to make sure that you're essentially weaving in and out of the issues that can be presented. So,
yeah. And only a real professional company would know that. And I exactly. just, you know, not only do you lose money, we as a business person lose money when we're trying to collect this money. We're losing that. But now we're actually putting ourselves into a vulnerable position of totally blowing it. And the third is we're actually, sounds to me like, and we're not attorneys, so this is not legal advice, but it sounds like we're actually could be opening ourselves into a lawsuit.
Yeah.
definitely.
I mean, if the contractor is not you, but the right. contract.
And at this current time, we've got about 30 states we're licensed in that we actually, you know, have the proper licenses for the state. So we have about 30. And if we do get clients, you know, that are in a state that we're not currently licensed in, it's something that we can't get licensed in.
Yeah, it doesn't. No, most states, it doesn't take a lot of time. So there's different states that it does take a little bit of time.
West Coast states that mean to be more progressive in their thinking, and they appear to not care if you steal $1,000 or more a day.
They're the most difficult and have the most hoops to jump through to be licensed in their states.
And so they did best to contact you folks and say, hey, this is the situation. Yeah. And like Heck said, hit comment section. And I know there's a lot of ton of questions I'm not hitting, and they will answer. They'll be watching this on YouTube, and so we'll be a part of it, and they'll be answering these questions because we can't get everything. But it seems to me like it's crazy out there. I mean, when I can actually see people come in and steal from me and I can't do anything about it, how in the world am I going to collect any money?
So, and one of those states that you're talking about, in one of those states, you can only require them to put $1,000 down before you actually start. So a lot of states in the Midwest, you want to get at least half down. That way you're covering the materials. But essentially, one state out there says, hey, the most you can actually collect for money down is $1,000. So that means essentially the entire job other than $1,000 could be up for collections.
Yeah, how I set it up and how I got it in the book. So when you read the book, folks, and how I got it set up, I don't believe in that we should pay for. My job is not, which that's another show, but my job isn't as a contractor, is to get the least amount of liability put up on my company. As a consumer, I don't think and I believe that we should never pay more than just 10% down, just enough to make it a legal contract. But then I break it down to progression payments.
Yep.
So if I show up and I got my material here and I don't get a check, well, then I'm gone. And I pick my material up and I go home.
Yep.
You know, but then that way you're not so far out. But on the same token, you know, a lot of these contractors, they try to get one-third, or half and a half. And I know sometimes they have to, but I don't even know how legal any of that is. And we won't go into that, though. Hey, I got a quick question. Fun question. So I know that you folks run into some odd people.
Yeah, that's an understatement.
I'm trying to be polite, you know, because I don't want to get edited, you know, in trouble here. But tell me some stories about some of these nuts. Maybe it's not nuts. Maybe it's just people that are emotionally angry or have gone through some time, or maybe they're just nuts.
I mean, in my time, I've collected from all walks of life. I mean, I've had NFL players. I've had people that are broadcasters on big sports broadcasting stations. I've had politicians, you name it. The couple that come to mind is one lady that we've been trying to get a hold of for a long, long time. And she finally answered her phone. And she goes, I'm at the bottom of an elevator shaft. And, you know, we'd verified her address. She had a beach house. Allegedly, she walked through the doors of the elevator. The elevator car wasn't there, and she was on the second floor in the elevator shaft, yet she was answering her phone. And, you know, it was the most bizarre conversation because she just goes, well, I'm at the bottom of an elevator shaft right now, and I don't know if I can discuss this. Just really odd. And she did answer her phone several more times, you know, and we asked her, well, you know, are you healing up, you know? She eventually sent in the money. She paid it at an online link. We sent her an email. It wasn't a lot of money, but it was just the most bizarre conversation I've ever had with somebody.
That is bizarre. You sound like you need to be calling 911 if you're at the bottom of the elevator shaft.
Yeah. She said she was waiting for the ambulance.
Yeah, with white coats.
Yeah. Might be why she accidentally answered the phone number. I don't know.
Because you guys have such a volatile company business, and it is emotional, do you get much biz threats on your life or, you know, physical threats? It sounds like, I mean, I would think that you would.
I've had somebody that actually stalked me down to the point of finding out my address and sending threats. We had to have actually the police department handle that.
So they've checked you down.
They, well, through social media, found a picture of my son, just really bizarre and making really bizarre threats. And I'm the non-confrontational type. Like, you will never find me on the phone with a customer, even really raising my voice. I just, there's no need. They're either willing to talk about it or they're not. And me yelling or screaming or anything's not going to change that.
No, actually, only make it worse.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you're just evoking emotion, and once the emotion gets hit, there's no more logic in this conversation.
Yes.
So, well, tell me, you got any stories? You're looking like you're jumping at the bit. You got something in.
So, when I was helping collect with a rental car company, it made several attempts trying to get a hold of somebody, and end up getting a hold of the guy, and I'm like, yeah, you know, we need to go ahead and get this handled. We can go ahead and extend this and make sure, you know, you're able to go. And he's like, well, that ain't going to happen, but you guys probably want to get your car. And we're like, okay, well, where's the car? And he's like, well, this is where I'm at. And he basically told us, you know, on the highway, and he was in between these signs. And we're like, well, okay, you know, what happened? Did the car break down? You know, did you not put gas in it? What's going on? He goes, well, there's a cop behind me, and I'm going to probably be getting arrested here shortly. We're like, what? All right. You know, we're thinking, okay, maybe this guy has, you know, maybe he's moving something, you know. So I'm like, well, you know, what do you think? You're going to be out on bail, and then, you know, we can go ahead and take care of this. You know, we need to make sure we get paid on this. He's like, well, I'm probably going to be going away for a while. And I'm like, okay, well, why is that? And he's like, yeah, so I got a dead body in Trump.
Now, you really
was true? So you know, basically you hit mute and you're like, oh, come on. Like, this is ridiculous, right? Oh, no, it was not ridiculous. So, yeah, we ended up actually having to send a tow truck out there to get the car. But in reality, you know, it got impounded because it was, you know, part of a crime. So they have to keep it for a certain amount of time and everything. But, yeah, that was actually really the case. So,
wow.
Didn't have to worry about him threatening me, you know. I probably got another 15 or 20 years before I got to worry about that. But, you know, as a whole, I don't know. I don't know if it's my demeanor or what have you, but I don't really get a lot of threats my way. So, you know, I'm not too terribly concerned if I do get threatened. So, you know, it's not an issue.
No, well, and everybody gets a few threats, but wow, you know, it's getting so volatile out here right now.
Yes.
I mean, you have the road rage and people shooting each other. That's why I was wondering and that's another good reason why you folks need to hire these people. You don't want them coming. You don't want these people coming to your house because they're all mad about you wanting to collect money. Let them go to their house. Let them pay for it. They know how to take care of it, you know, but we don't. That's another, honestly, that is a good reason because it is so emotional and people get so upset, you know. I got one more crazy question, and that is, because you any get anybody ever called to collect on a debt for an illegal activity? Now, I know marijuana is legal now.
Yeah.
But for instance, because we all laughed about it for years, you know, I'm called bill collector and we'll have them send Guino out there to take care of you. and I wouldn't doubt if they don't call bill. People don't call bill collectors, honestly, thinking that's for real. Have you ever heard of, have you gotten anything stupid like that?
I have heard of it. I have not had it personally happen to me, but I have heard of it. Yeah.
Yeah. We robbed that bank and he won't give me my share and I want my money.
All I know is, so, you know, a promissory note can be very limited in what it is, but, you know, whatever you put on the promissory note, as long as that's legal, you know, then we can collect on that. So, you know, I don't know any details beyond that.
So what you're saying is when we're doing our drug dealing, if you front the dope, get a promissory note. Woo! If you push the dope, get the note. There you go.
Use code words. Code words are important.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, folks, I will wrap up the show, and I thank you so much for coming. We're going to have to do it again, and because there's a ton more questions, and we're going to get more specific. And we'll do a couple, maybe do another one in a couple of months, because I want to get more specific into the different industries. But this is a good generic capsule of a. But tell them how people can find you, your phone number, your website.
For our website, it's just BYRALLC.com. And then I'm sure you're going to flash our numbers at the bottom of the screen. So, you know, you can go ahead and contact either of us.
Yeah, show them, but say the numbers out loud real quick. So as some people are going to be just listening to this as they're driving.
Be 636-290-9567. And we're right in Weldon Springs, right on Highway 94. So we're local as well. If they want to drop by the office,
yeah,
like you said, call us up, schedule an appointment, feel free to drop by.
And so that's really what the best bet, just give you a call and tell you what's happening and then kind of start the process in that manner right there. And you'll tell them what they need to bring and what they need to produce and kind of get a little bit about it if it can help them.
We have a fairly lengthy contract, but it gives, you know, their expectations for us and our expectations for them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that way we can make it more successful, both of us getting their money back.
And that's bottom line is what we're after. Yeah. Well, thank you, folks, for watching and for that special gift that I was talking about. If you hit like and subscribe and then go to the comment section, hit like and subscribe to my channel and to this show, then hit go to the comment section and request you would like to have the top 10 questions to ask a contractor and to get before you hire a contractor so you don't get ripped off. I promise you. You follow the top 10 things, and your odds of being ripped off by anybody are going to drop drastically. I've been doing this for over 45 years or more. Boy, you know you're old when you can't even remember how long you've been doing it. But it'll help you tremendously. And then any questions that you ask them, ask them a question and say, you know, and then come back and say, hey, send that list to me. Like and subscribe. We'd love it. And share this with your friends. These folks, if you're a business person or if you're just an independent landlord or somebody like this, you're not going to find another company that deals like that, that's of this kind of quality and that can help us little guys, you know? So thank you for watching our radio show and about the house. And hey, follow us on our Construction Consumer Advocacy. And so you can learn more about everything that you need to know about the quality of homes, builders, products, even bill collecting, contract writing, anything you need to know to protect yourself from the cons. Thanks, folks. God bless you.
Sponsored by Troy Galloway and Galloway Building Services, GallowayBuildingServices.com.